Please join us every Saturday morning for Temple of Health Radio Show, brought to you by Plasticos and Millennium Healthcare. Our holistic medical practices in Atlanta are committed to community education. Our shows bring national authors on topics of health alternatives, new scientific breakthroughs, and spiritual medicine.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Third Stream View for Monday evening, June 13th. This is your humble host, PK, speaking. Welcome back, everybody. I'd like to thanks again to the suits over there at bbsradio.com for promoting free speech through the internet, alternative media. Thank goodness. That's the usual status quo, pro-minus, corporate.
Everything you tell me reminds me of where I've gone. I'm hiding out, and yet somehow you find me.
Hello, you guys.
Maybe I'll just let you touch me, giving you all my.
I thought overall the whole debate was rather lackluster, and Ron Paul didn't even get ganged up on because they saved the foreign policy part. If you want to say saved, they saved that till the end, the last, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, and it should have been, you know, a good hour or so. So, and when Ron Paul was asked about it, he eloquently stated his case. And then at the end, what I enjoyed was when he was asked, everybody was asked, Of those seven candidates, who would they choose for their vice president? Which I thought was an awful question. But Ron Paul thankfully said, "Well, I'd have to question them some more and see what, you know, see where their views are, and see where they stand on the, you know, foreign policy and the Federal Reserve, which we hardly spoke about." So he brought those two up as best he could. I was waiting for a really aggressive, lively foreign policy discussion, because that's when I thought that the sparks would fly. But I could tell that Ron Paul has influenced the others slightly about the war, at least, because they're starting to backtrack again and recognize the fatigue of the American people. The guy who asked the question, actually, and which Dr. Paul answered, was a 25-year Navy vet who has three kids in the military. And he, you could tell he was tired of it. When are we going to bring the troops home? Ron Paul gave the best answer, of course. And then the other six gave your usual, well, when the mission's complete, when we know that we can do this and blah, 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 blah. You know, so again, you have Ron Paul, and then you have all the rest who are heavily beholden to the military-industrial complex and, of course, the all-powerful Israeli lobby, especially Bachman. And even though she wasn't there, Sarah Palin, I don't think Sarah Palin's going to run, actually. I think that she's just doing some publicity now. She's making more money. She's got that other house. You know, she's set up. She's in the Republican hierarchy, if you will. But, you know, they're all neocons. She's a neocon. All the rest except for Ron Paul tonight are neocons. And, of course, they excluded Gary Johnson, who tends to be Ron Paul light. He makes, you know, he would be my second choice, but he's willing to give in too much to, I would say, the military-industrial complex and probably the Israeli lobby, although not as much. But he was excluded, which I think is just too bad, because here's an eager fellow who wanted to get his say, and he was excluded. And I think that's very unfair, but it's going to be harder to exclude Dr. Paul. I don't know offhand when the next debate is. I don't think they said, but when I find out, I'll let you know next time. I'm sure it'll be broadcast, and this one was on CNN. I didn't check the other channels. I noticed that it wasn't on Fox. I was surprised about, but this one was from New Hampshire. They didn't get to the drug issue, But I noticed that on economics that the all the candidates were pretty much on the same page. Of course, Dr. Paul was the clearest, but the rest seemed to oppose a lot of what Obama's doing, as I do. Although I've said, I think last week and the week before, that the best thing Obama has done so far is when he called for a, or advocated a Israel drawing back to its 67 borders, which he later backtracked from because Netanyahu lectured him. And then Netanyahu goes on to speak in Congress, and he gets standing ovation after ovation, which disgusted me because what other country has such power in this country over this country, you know, such that it denies that it has. So that's a problem. But overall, I was glad to see the debate, but it didn't get into the fireworks that I expected it would get into. And the other candidates pretty much said what I expected them to say. Now, tonight, I'm having a gentleman on. His name is Phil, and he's the head of his local chapter of Veterans for Peace. And we'll be having an interesting chat. I'm all for what they stand for. I'm also for Veterans Against the War, but we do know that Veterans for Peace, quite often the the peace movement sort of stands in its own way. But it's important that veterans see the light. When you get past waving the flag and apple pie and Chevrolet, you really see what's going on. It's the federal government is the real enemy. It is at home and it is abroad. And we're going to have a lively discussion about Veterans for Peace, about foreign policy, the basically unchanging foreign policy, and we're going to talk about these futile wars that we keep continuing to expedite, if you will, which are bankrupting the country. We'll talk about the Israeli lobby and its power, and it's with the military-industrial congressional complex. We'll touch on all those things, and we'll see what Phil has to say about coming to grips or realizing about a lot of the wars this country's fought and the outcomes, the costs. Were they really necessary? So we'll get into all those things. And again, I applaud all those veterans that start to see the light, especially when you get past all the propaganda and all the flag waving and all the hype, because I'm happy to say that I never confuse patriotism with loyalty to the government. My patriotism is always towards the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the U.S. Constitution. The Constitution is not a perfect document, of course. Nothing is. It has two major cracks. If I could get rid of them, I would. The Commerce Clause and the Welfare Clause, which have been expanded beyond belief. So, yes, those are two of the main cracks. In fact, I discussed it at length on this show in a couple episodes last fall. I've rewritten I have my own Constitution, my own secession solution, if you will, which goes further than the U.S. Constitution. It's stricter on the role of government, and it does not give business the capability through a free market to rape and pillage all the consumers and the poor and the downtrodden, which is always labeled against the free market by leftists or people who don't understand or you know, progressives who are opposed to what the free market really is. So my constitution, if you will, would outlaw corporate welfare, crony capitalism, bailouts, political privilege, subsidies, state capitalism, corporate socialism, all those perversions of what true and honest free market laissez-faire capitalism is. I know we've never really had a true free market economy anywhere in the world. We've come close. Some countries have come close. It is the ideal. It's not a utopia. There is no utopia, but we can make things a lot better. So, of course, I'm a staunch advocate of a true, honest, free market economy. I'm very much opposed, again, to corporate welfare and bailouts. We Ron Paul Republicans, we libertarians, we classical liberals, we who know and understand the free market, we are not, I repeat, we are not pro-business per se. We are pro free enterprise, and there's a big difference. Again, free enterprise doesn't allow excluding competitors from market entry. It doesn't allow bailouts and subsidies, corporate welfare, and crony capitalism. We abhor all that stuff. It's like Frankenstein's monster. It's created out of good things that now serve bad purposes or bad things. So not all big businesses bad per se, but we just are not pro-business. We are pro-free enterprise. So in answer to the hysteria of the liberals or those commies or those who are opposed to the market mechanisms, no, it doesn't run roughshod over everybody. It doesn't – it's not like – you know, we believe in law and order. I would say a minimum of regulation, probably 95% less than that we have today. And a government that enforces contracts and enforces property rights, you know, again, in terms of pollution, which is largely a scientific problem, pollution would be handled at the local level through tort law, through strict liability, through property rights. We have answers and solutions for these criticisms of the markets, market system, but they're greatly exaggerated, a lot of these claims. What we have now is a heavily regulated economy. And if historically, Republicans especially have staffed the regulatory agencies with their cronies, because you would think that big business would oppose regulation, and outwardly a lot of them do. But they know that when they with their armies of lawyers and accountants, that yes, they will pay the taxes and comply with all the regulations rather grudgingly. But in the long run, they know that it excludes competitors. And would-be competitors and new upstarts, when what this country needs, what every country needs, is micro taxes, micro regulations, and a tremendous nurturing and encouragement of entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurs are the driving force of any economy, or should be the driving force of any economy, not more politicians and bureaucrats. They're just sucking up our money. They're part of the parasitic class. Beyond minimal functions of courts, you know, police, firemen, the military, pretty much all this other government is just a waste of our money, and it just continues to feed on our taxes and overregulate us. It looks like Phil is here. Phil, are you out there? I don't hear you. Phil, are you out there? I don't hear him yet. I'm getting a message from my producer. He's there, I swear. Oh, please don't swear. Phil, you're out there on line two. Why can't I hear him? I'm all plugged in. Let me also say that we have a new toll-free number for the U.S. and Canada. If you care to call in and make a comment or debate, et cetera, our number is 888-260-3070. Once again, it's 888-260-3070. That is our toll-free number. Now, Phil, I know you were out there. You had a little chat with my producer. You've disappeared, so maybe you'll call back in. Because I'm looking forward to talking to you. Hopefully there's no more gremlins in the line. I assume that, Seth, you hear me okay? Yeah, okay. All right. Well, let's try to get Phil back on here. Because the masses need to hear your wisdom, Phil. And I only know so much about what you do and what you stand for, which I'm totally in favor of. And I applaud you for doing it and hope you'll get more vets on board, especially more vets to join the Oath Keepers. Because as we know, I mentioned this last week, a lot of these cops, our cops have been heavily militarized throughout our country. They're not the cops that they used to be. More friendly, more helpful. Now they're, you know, everybody, they suspect all of us. They're taser happy, gun happy, heavy weapons happy. And cops recently have murdered some of our vets. And we're going to talk about that too. And the saddening thing is, I don't know what the percentage is, but a large number of our police are veterans. So I think that Phil is back. Phil, are you out there?
Yes, PK. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Welcome back to Third Stream View.
Oh, thank you very much. Glad to be invited on to the show.
Yeah, actually, I shouldn't have said welcome back, only because you're not back from another performance. You were welcome back because you temporarily got cut off.
Yeah, I guess I was on the wrong line, but happy to be on the right line now.
Thank you. Would you like some tea or coffee?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I'm always up.
It's self-service here, and that goes for the suits in the office, all right? It's self-service.
Okay.
So did you hear my bit of a monologue there, Phil?
I did, yes. And
I
was out earlier, so I did not see the debates, but I did get to see a YouTube or two of the interviews afterwards.
Oh, you know, I didn't get to see that, but thank goodness for YouTube.
Yes.
But let me tell you something, Phil. Now, you know, we got a big failure of a drug war going on. Now, I myself find YouTube to be very addicting. Therefore, should it be prohibited? Should YouTube be made illegal?
No.
Well, okay, Phil, what if I got a whole bunch of other like-thinking people, then we could lobby for it to be illegal. Would that be okay then?
Not with me.
Okay, good.
And I don't think with the Constitution either. And speaking of drug war...
Who cares about that?
Yeah, right. But you mentioned drug war, and earlier in the monologue you mentioned how former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, was he New Mexico or Arizona?
Yes, sir, New Mexico.
Yeah, was left out of the debates. There's a great film out there, you may already know of it, American Drug War.
Oh, sorry, wrong film.
Yeah, American Drug War, that came out a couple of years ago, I believe the filmmaker's Kevin Booth.
Oh, I think
Gary
I've heard
Johnson
of it.
Is, I'm sorry?
I think I've heard of it. I'm going to write that down, American Drug War.
Yes, and Gary Johnson is featured in that documentary. I highly recommend it. You know, that's just anything that the government's waging war on. It should be suspect, and they're the biggest criminal enterprise going, in my opinion, is the government.
Even the American government, because we're exceptional, you know.
Yeah, but it really is a great film, and I encourage folks to take a listen to this fella Gary Johnson. I'm with the Veterans for Peace, and we don't endorse any candidates or anything like that. But on a personal basis, I was very impressed about what he had to say about the drug war, the bogus drug war in that film, American Drug War.
Well, yeah, and after all, he is on a border state, which is affected by it.
Yes.
You know, Mr. Veteran, that... In the last, 3 years, there's probably been close to 40,000 people killed in the drug war near the Mexican border?
Yes. And
Phil,
understanding
that's almost as many as died in Vietnam. They're not Americans, per se, but that little war, that drug war, has caused that much in the shorter amount of time.
Yeah. And war is a racket, as Major General Smedley Butler, United States Marine Corps, wrote about.
That's for sure.
And here's a fellow who's a two-time Congressional Medal of Honor recipient, one of the most beloved military leaders in U.S. history, Major General Smedley D. Butler. And war is a racket. So the drug war is a racket. the war on terror is a racket, you know, whatever other, the war on poverty is a racket. Any war that this U.S. government of ours is waging is most likely a racket. And I think what folks need to do is take the next step, which is to follow the money.
Of course.
And let's follow the money and find out who these people are perpetrating this racket, you know. And I think that's something we, as those who are awakened to these frauds, I think we need to go that extra step. And
you're right. And let's not forget, you know, it's our money.
yeah. And but anyway, I'm babbling already.
No,
I don't know if you wanted me to give you a brief background on my own background and what we do here at Veterans for Peace, or did you want me to talk about something else?
Let me ask you a few questions. Now, you served in the Army. You were a peacetime veteran.
Yes, that's correct. I did not come of age until after Vietnam. I was born in 1960, so when I came of age, Vietnam had already wound down, and thankfully,
yeah.
I wasn't subject to that. But I did want to serve my country. I did want to be all I could be, and I did join the Army and went into the infantry and didn't do anything special and that was not involved in any combat or war or anything like that. But I am a military veteran, and when the Bush's war on Iraq was heating up, I wanted to do something about it. And I saw YouTube, speaking of YouTubes again, and it was one of the Downing Street memos came out in May, June of 2005.
There you go,
and
Tony
Blair. Members of Veterans for Peace there, you know, and I'm wondering, what is this Veterans for Peace? So thank God for the internet. I got on it and looked
Heck
it
yes.
up and called them. And that's how I found out about Veterans for Peace, because I saw somebody on the screen, the TV screen there, wearing a shirt that said Veterans for Peace. So that is, you know, I can't recommend enough for those of us who really do want to make a change to get involved with their local chapters of national organizations like this and be active locally. Veterans for Peace is you know, we're against war as an instrument of policy.
Sure.
And that doesn't mean everyone's a pacifist or anything. I'm very much in favor of defending our country.
Me too.
I'm very much in favor of everything that's in that Constitution, you know, as far as the Bill of Rights and all that. And I'm just not in favor of American kids being used as basically mercenaries for the corporations to go to other people's countries and take their stuff.
Yeah, it's a global. They're not really defending our rights. They're defending a globalist empire. It's almost like, you know, they're Bush and Obama's private armies.
Yes, and it's time that we say enough. I believe this has been going on for literally hundreds of years, enough's enough. And with this new technology for sharing of information, you know, the internet, the DVDs, the YouTubes, the time is now, and we're the ones living in that time, and whether we like it or not, we're the ones that are being called on to fight this fight.
Well, the globalists, thanks to the internet, they can't conceal their lies as much. Now, there's a lot of BS on the internet, too, but you can sift through and find the good stuff, and then you'll see some of it cropping up on even the major media. But thank goodness for the internet, because now a lot of this stuff is exposed. And, well, Jay Rockefeller, that bastard, he wants to be able to, restrict the internet. And Lieberman, that SOB, Israel's senator in the U.S., their main senator, he wants to be able to have a switch to turn the damn thing off.
That's right. And, you know, the heck with these guys. You know, there are 300 million of us, you know, and really a handful of them. And if we just realized our power, and I'm excited, you know, I'm encouraged to see more and more people are realizing their own personal power. And I think that those of us that are awake and in the know, we just have to keep taking every opportunity to have dialogue with our fellows, you know, our neighbors, the person at the gas pump, you know, you're standing next to, someone in the checkout line at the grocery. Just keep talking to people.
Right.
Because people are awake, people are realizing something really is wrong here, you know, and we just need to talk to each other and help each other along and get that critical mass.
Well, that's true. And who would have thought that actually now in the Middle East, the Arabs are pointing the way for us because they've woken up to the crap over there, and maybe we're going to be next. I believe that we need a revolution or secession or a nullifying federal law, because it's time. You mentioned there's 300 plus million of us. That's true. But only something like 3 million control the rest of us.
Yes.
The cops, maybe not so much the military, but the cops, the customs agent, these pricks in the TSA, all these kind of people. You know, there's going to be a revolt against this kind of stuff. And when I'm talking, the kind of talking I'm revolution, I'm pushing, or secession, is not that we rob stores or banks or harm our neighbors or threaten people. No, it's standing up to government. We want law and order, but we're tired of being treated the way we're being treated and overtaxed and overregulated. It's not about taking from you to give to me. You know what I'm saying? It's not class war. It's standing up to the state.
Yes. And they want us to fall into that fighting back type of thing, you know, and resorting to violence. And that's playing right into their hands. Because
right.
Then they can just put that police state right in the, you know, the police state's already set up. The answer is, I believe, is an informed citizenry, you know.
Right.
And we're getting there, and we've got to keep working on that. But to get into a fight, you know, is exactly what they want us to do, you know.
Well,
and we can't take that bait.
You know, Jesse Ventura is on the cutting edge of a lot of this.
Yes, yes. Very happy about his TV series that he's had and the books that he's been writing. And he's becoming the media himself. You know, that's what we say here. You're tired of the media, you know, the bought and paid for, controlled, misleading media. Then become the media ourselves. And that's a big part of our activism here in Central Florida with Veterans, our local chapter of Veterans for Peace. And actually, we work closely with other groups such as We Are Change and Code Pink, the East Central Florida chapter of Code Pink, Women for Peace.
I'm a fan of Code
Pink.
Very
much on the same page.
Yeah, I'm a fan of theirs. So how about Veterans Against the War? Are you in touch with them?
The Iraq Vets Against the War?
Yes.
They're a younger and smaller organization than Veterans for Peace. They started off in 2004, a year after the invasion of Iraq, and we don't have many that are connected with us here in Central Florida. However, we would like more to get involved, but a lot of these kids have done multiple deployments to tours of combat. You know, and I don't know if your listeners are aware of it, but 18 U.S. military veterans commit suicide on a daily basis in the United States. And I think over the past year or two, that they've actually had more active duty military die from suicide than in combat.
Wow.
You know? So these kids, to expect them to come out and join us in the fight is they've already had enough spent, taken out of their hides. But those who are able to, join us, we encourage you to do so, because there's not much more credible than someone who's actually been there and been in the fight to come
right.
back and say that it's wrong.
I heard that the military suicide rates of the last several years are unusually high, and then I read recently, I don't know what the exact number is. I don't even know if there could be an exact number. There could probably be a pretty approximate one, but I've heard that something like 50 to 100,000 Vietnam vets have committed suicide. If that's true, it's possible that more Vietnam vets committed suicide than died in the war, if those numbers are correct.
Yes, and I don't have any, I've heard for years that twice as many fellows that served in Vietnam died by taking their own lives afterwards than were killed in combat in Vietnam, you've got the same thing going on right now. But what we're doing to this generation of military is obscene. It's they're being sent on 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 tours. We had a local kid here in Daytona Beach, Army Ranger, his number finally came up. He went on an 8th tour and
wow.
was finally killed in Afghanistan. And, you had 500 people in the town come out and have a big memorial and funeral for him and all that. And I say, if you took 10% of those people, 50 people, and put them out on the local street corner on a weekly basis saying, stop these damn wars, that kid might been alive today, So
yeah.
supporting the troops is you want to support the troops, get your butt out there and bring them, get this government to bring them home.
That's true.
That's where it's at.
I already support the troops as a taxpayer, and something that's left out is by the way, Phil, you know what? They work for us, just like cops. They work for us. We pay them. So we ought to have a say in things.
You're darn right. And that's also where the American people are missing,
true.
Missing out on this, that, it's not up that the politicians are only going to go whatever way influences them the most, And right now you mentioned the money from AIPAC, military industrial complex, all these moneyed interests are what's going to influence the congressman. But like I said, if you have a congressman who's you have his few major towns or cities in his or her district, and you take 10% of the people that showed up for this kid's funeral, the guy that got killed on his 8th tour,
wow.
and you put them out there for one day out of the week, 1 hour a night like we do in Daytona Beach, I tell you what, that congressman will be feeling some heat pretty darn quick, because they want to keep that job in Washington. So they get the gravy train that comes with it, all the connections and, the jobs afterwards. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So I really think that we need to get people out in the streets and actually realizing the power that we have as individuals. We can make a difference if we just get out there and exercise our power.
That's true. My take on the whole military thing is, yes, of course, constitutionally, we need a military. I understand that. But I am not a pacifist per se. I'm very pro-gun rights. But most of all, as a leader, if I was a leader, I would never lie to our troops and manipulate the country into war. I would tell them the truth. Unlike that son of a bitch FDR, for example, who is publicly talking peace, but behind the scenes he's scheming with Churchill to get America involved in war, or Bush getting us involved over there. You know, I would tell them the truth. For me, it's easy to speak truth to power. That's who I am. I can't be bought. I have no desire to be a power trip like these politicians. I would tell the troops the truth. And unlike talk radio, I won't kiss the military's butt either. Yes, thank you for your service, but then I'm going to criticize foreign policy. You know, and you're not going to intimidate me and call me like Sean Hannity. Why do you hate America? Well, I hate the federal government. That's my problem.
Yeah, and you know, this media has been hijacked and bought up by the same moneyed interests that have bought up the Congress and everyone else, and war is a big moneymaker, you know, and it's all related. And again, follow the money. I think a big part of we got to just get honest, you know. I think we need to get honest about 9/11. You know that everything that's happening, PK, is what do they fall back on is for the reason. Terrorism, 9/11.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting molested at the airport, you're taking your shoes off, cameras everywhere you look, there's cameras on
it's
the street lights, and these wars, you know, the bankrupting of our country, the all for the in the name of the war on terrorism, you know, which was 9/11, and 9/11 was total BS, you know. And I really think the country needs to deal with 9/11. We've got to go right to the root of it.
Right. I just got an interesting note here, Phil. Listen to this from my producer. We've got Smedley Butler's nephew on the network quite a bit. I could get you in touch with him if you like. Might be a good interview.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
I would love to do that. Yes.
Yes.
Old Great One's in the office. Please do that.
Yes, please.
For it is written that he should come on my show.
Oh,
now,
good.
thank you. Thank you very much. Did you get to hear my when I was speaking about economics at the top, did you get to hear me speak about the honest free enterprise system?
I missed a few of it because a few minutes of it I had to go in and get the other telephone.
Okay. Yeah, I just was curious if you had heard some of that, because I laid out how, you know, you talk about, you know, the money powers own the government and all this kind of stuff and the politicians. Well, I was clarifying how in an honest free market laissez-faire capitalist system, that wouldn't work. I mean, there's no utopia, but you wouldn't have corporate welfare and bailouts. You wouldn't have this gravy train. And it comes from our taxes. They're not earning it in a real, honest, free market. That, you know, they have it guaranteed through them. They're at the tax trough.
Yes. Yes,
and
I agree.
And that's a major difference. Now, back to Veterans for Peace. So my questions to you, Phil, are, and of course I applaud your efforts. What about do you find it difficult, or do you have to proceed sort of gingerly when you try to get veterans to come in on this? I mean, do you get much opposition from veterans or apprehension?
Well, in the earlier years, during the Bush years, you know, the groups like Veterans for Foreign Wars and, you know, VFWs and American Legions, those fellas, they didn't look too kindly on us, you know. And now their guy is out. And I say their guy, for some reason, they really rally behind Bush, you know.
And of course.
Not as much Obama right now. So, they don't really have a lot to do with us at all, and it's sad because the veterans really could make a difference here, and especially the ones that have been to war, you know, like the guys in the VFWs. And don't get me wrong, there's a number of veterans in Veterans for Peace who are war veterans themselves, you know.
Of course.
I just myself am not. It really is a shame, because what's happening to the Vietnam generation, you know, where you had 58,000 American kids die on a lie, flat out lie. Gulf
of Tonkin
never happened.
Gulf of Tonkin lies.
Yeah, and then you got the Pentagon Papers being released today, the full version. You know, a total lie, and here we go again. This bogus war on terror is the next generation's big lie, and these kids are being killed and killing others and having to live with it for another lie, and they're letting what happened to them happen to this generation by not speaking out against it.
Well, at this point, Phil, I'd like to ask you if you know what Iraq stands for.
I don't. Tell me.
You're already laughing and you haven't heard it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, right, but I have a feeling you've got a good one. So
here I go. And these are mine. Idiotic Republican authorized quagmire. Phil, hang on a second.
Yeah,
I got Rick
on.
Rick is online. Rick, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. I got a quick question for Phil.
Sure.
Phil, why is it that during the Vietnam era you had this great GI resistance and you don't have it today? And I just want to say that I'm a big fan of your videos on YouTube, on your Central Florida VFP channel. You have a good video there that really tells a lot about war, called The Truth Behind the 9/11 Gulf War Invasion on YouTube. Can you please let the audience know, why is it that you're not having this GI resistance like you used to? There's a documentary called Sir, No Sir that does a pretty good job illustrating how during the Vietnam era, veterans were more active, and even active duty people were pretty active against the Vietnam War. Why aren't more veterans in the last 10 years even half as active, and not even 1%?
Well, thank you, Rick, and thanks for mentioning our YouTube channel. There is a bunch of good stuff on there. I'm not a Vietnam veteran. I was afterwards, and I'm not a veteran of these current wars, so I can only give my opinion as to what I think it would be. During Vietnam, you had conscription. You had a forced military draft, which you don't have this go-round. But one thing I do want to say, there is a draft, and it's an economic draft.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that is a big part of it. You had a conscription. You had a forced military draft where people were forcibly made to serve in Vietnam. And I really think that was a big part of it. Plus, we had a news media that wasn't totally controlled as it is today. You actually got to see Vietnam every night on TV, you know, after dinner, as the 6 o'clock news, and you got to see the atrocities, you know, when My Lai happened, it was reported on, you know, it's a different ball game now. The propaganda is so thick. I think that the myth of, you know, being against the war is being against the troops has just been strengthened even more. And that's my take on it. I think that's what we're looking at. Plus there's retribution. From what I hear, you know, if you're in service and you try to speak out, man, you risk serious consequences. I think we should go look at what the Pat Tillman incident, you know, and And plus, they want to keep their jobs. There's no jobs to come to. There's a lot of these soldiers that are re-enlisting because they got to keep their shoes on their kids' feet and keep their kids fed because there are no jobs here in the States. So they want to keep their job. And that's also on the outside. People here are afraid of losing their jobs, so they're afraid of speaking out against the war, just as citizens, civilians. So it's a whole different ball game, I believe.
What do you think, Rick?
Hello?
Yeah, well, that's a pretty good analysis. I'm reading rumors, and I'm just reading rumors now, that there's a lot of students who are not able to pay back their college loans, and the rumor goes that eventually they will be drafted in service and told that they would have their college loans forgiven. Now, this is just rumor. I've read it in several articles. I haven't been able to confirm the source. Do you think this will be possible, Phil?
Well, gee, the economic, the people are joining. There really is an economic draft. You know, you've got people going in the military because there's no work. And if they're in debt, I know when I joined the Army in the early 1980s, my student loan was forgiven, and when I did my enlistment, I had college money, and that helped me to go on to college afterwards. You know, so those are real concerns. And at that point in time, college was a lot less expensive than it is now. And as far as student loans, I heard of a story last week. Hello? Hello?
I'm there. I'm here. I don't know if Rick is.
I heard of a story last week where there was some kind of SWAT team raid on a person's home, 6 a.m. in front of the guy's little kids because of an unpaid student loan.
In Stockton, California.
Weird, man. Yeah.
That was.
I don't know if that answered your question.
The Department of Education.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're in a police state, and I believe, you know, these folks are not going to give up this police state power just because all on their own goodwill. We've got to stand up to this crap, you know.
Well, and
while we still have a chance.
As I mentioned, was it last month? The damn cops, they killed a veteran in Arizona that a botched drug raid. They put either like 61 or 71 shots into this guy.
And you know, they're drunk on power. And you've got all kinds of factors, but I think one of the biggest factors is we've allowed this police state to evolve. We have, you know, we go to the airports and, we allow them to grope us and make us take our shoes off. And we've allowed this, and we've got to stop. We've got to say enough. And these cops, you know, they've got the guns, they've got the tasers, they've got all that, and they're drunk on power, and God knows what else they're on. And you did mention that a lot of these, a lot of combat veterans come back, and they do find themselves jobs with law enforcement, you know. And my God, man,
they're out of control.
World of trouble here, and all the more reason for us to do more than just talk to ourselves. We've got to start talking to our fellows, you know, and a lot of them are not able to hear 9/11 was an inside job and the Bilderberg and the Illuminati all in one first sitting. You know, you got to go easy with some of these people.
Right.
But begin the dialogue, you know, begin the dialogue.
You're right. And see, I think 9/11, of course, played into this whole thing. It gave the military – who did it benefit? The military-industrial complex and Israel. Israel wants more of an ethnically cleansed Middle East. They want – you know, they want more power. They want – they're the tail wagging the U.S. dog. I've said this for so long now. I look forward to the day when Israel gets its boot off of America's neck. No more wars for Israel. And – Their Mossad works with our CIA, works with MI6. They're involved in this Libyan situation. You know, they've got Mossad agents all over Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, and Israelis and their Mossad, they're very good at impersonating Arabs and Palestinians.
Sure they are. And this has gone on for years, if you just look at the history. And they've got that... they've got the Holocaust. You can't criticize Israel. You're anti-Semite. Well, you know, here's something that just went. What was it last week? June 8th was the anniversary of the June 8, 1967 attack on the USS Liberty. And this is something that we can do. You know, some people they're hitting them with Israel's. You know. Got their boot on our neck and does all this right off the bat. You know, they can't handle that right up front. But if you go to another veteran and you show them, hey, you know about the USS Liberty? You know, during the Six-Day War in 1967? You know, and then you tell them a little bit about the USS Liberty or maybe give them a DVD. You know, that's what we do.
Sure.
And then they see, you know, they learn about the Liberty. You know, and then, hey, maybe Israel isn't so defenseless, you know. Maybe we should take another look at this. Hey, what other DVDs do these folks have, you know? And you hit them with a 9/11 truth or, you know, something like that. We've got to put a lot more work into talking with our fellows. I really believe that's the answer.
I agree. Phil, your organization, Veterans for Peace, would you say that most of your members are also members of the Oath Keepers?
No, no. And this is not at all. And like,
really?
Veterans for Peace is a very left-leaning organization. One fact that should make you think... Veterans for Peace led the charge to call for the impeachment of George W. Bush for these illegal wars and occupations, you know, in Iraq. All the way up until Obama took office, and then all of a sudden the wars are no longer an impeachable offense once the Democrat got in. And to this very day, I mean, Obama did a shock and awe of his own 8 years to the day that Bush shock and awed Iraq, Obama shock and awed Libya, and he didn't even bother to go to Congress. Yet to this very day, you don't hear a peep out of the anti-war organizations as far as calling for the impeachment of Obama, which, by the way, our chapter has been calling for his impeachment for 2 years now. And
well,
for 2 years in a row, the resolution has been voted down at the National Convention of Veterans for Peace.
Well, I say about Obama, just like I say about Bush, where's Oswald when you need him?
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to touch that one, man. But here's the thing. These national organizations, just like political parties, are controlled, you know, And I think, okay, those of us who are in the know, we know that, and we can talk about it, and we can commiserate about it, but what we really need to do is join up with them and get involved and get them, you know, righted back on course again, you know. And so I encourage anyone who is a military veteran out there to go to veteransforpeace.org, look at the 5-point statement of purpose, and if you can agree with that statement of purpose, join the organization and act from within, like what we're doing down here in Central Florida. A number of our chapter members quit after Veterans for Peace turned their back on impeachment over these wars once the Democrat got in. But then there's a few of us that have stayed in and we're continuing the fight from within. And that's what we need to do. We need to stay in the fight.
True.
And really take our country back, you know, and just fight for what's right here. I encourage folks to get involved with Veterans for Peace, to get involved with the Oath Keepers, too. You know, get involved with these groups and call them on their hypocrisy and act locally. The caller, Rick, mentioned our YouTube channel. Because I'm a representative, a local representative of a national organization, the local media, like the Orlando TV stations, will give us a call from now and then and have us come into studio and appear on television or radio or in the newspaper. And
great.
That gives us an opportunity to be the media ourselves and get these, get the truth out. And so I really encourage your listeners, especially military veterans or family members, to join their local chapters of these organizations. Instead of criticizing them, get involved with them and make them right. Make them the way you'd like them to be.
Well, that's right, and it carries more weight because you're a veteran. And by the way, I respect and thank you for your service just as much. I know you didn't see combat or, you know, major combat, but I still, you know, you still served, and I appreciate all that. So I don't thank you any less than a hardcore veteran who's seen action. Yeah, he had a tougher time, but you were there. You would have gone. You still deserve respect and thanks and appreciation.
Well, thank you, PK. But folks out there, you want to thank the troops. Stop these damn wars, you know. And that means doing more than what we've already been doing, or doing something different, doing something that works. And if you haven't tried getting involved in the anti-war movement, you know, get involved in it, you know. Instead of criticizing them for not being able to stop the war, you know, get involved and make them stop the war. I don't know if that made sense.
It makes good sense. In fact, there's a great old tune by Grand Funk Railroad called "People, Let's Stop the War." I don't know if you've ever heard it.
I don't recall that one, but I remember the Grand Funk Railroad. That's for darn sure.
People, let's stop the war now. Very cool lyrics. I really liked it. Well, I think it would be a good idea if Veterans for Peace encouraged their members to also become oath keepers, because that's taking it to the next step, that you will not fire on the American people during peaceful demonstrations, or, you know, we will not turn our guns on the American people.
Hey, if they'll put 60 bullets into an Iraq vet, in front of his little kids in his own home.
Yeah.
You know, this stuff is for real. So we really do have to talk with we've got a good rapport with our the police departments here in the Daytona Beach area.
That's good.
Because we're out there every Thursday night for the past 5.5 years. And we talk to these folks. We are out there doing weekly actions and demonstrations. And a lot of the events that we go to, you know, the cops are there, and we talk to them. They're fellow Americans, really. They've got wives, they've got kids, they've got mortgage payments, and a lot of them have served, too, you know. And the idea is to get along, you know, and we just
have to
start reaching out more. And you want the cops to, you know, the cops in our area, boy, we've handed out God knows how many thousands of DVDs and flyers. They know what's going on, I think, in a large part because we've been out there every week handing out flyers and DVDs. And there's a pretty good deal of mutual respect there.
And, well, that's great.
I think we're still missing a lot. There's a lot more of this to be done in America. People need to get out in their local communities. You know, you don't have to have 100 people in order to get out there. Just get out there. As long as you got 2 people and a sign, you know, one person to watch the other's back.
That's true.
And get the message out.
Hate to interrupt you, but speaking of signs, it's time for me to sign off. So I want to thank you again for all the great work you're doing for Veterans for Peace. Keep it up. keep getting other people involved, try to get the police involved, and thank you very much for coming on to Third Stream View. It was a fun time speaking with you, and I'd like to have you back again soon.
Oh, I'd love any opportunity to come back, PK, and thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thank you again for your service, and thank you for your honesty and not pulling any punches and telling us like it is. And that's really important around here. So, again, I'm going to say goodnight to you for now and to all our listeners out there. This is PK signing off here at Third Stream View. We'll see you again next Monday evening, same time, same place, 9 o'clock Pacific, 11 o'clock Eastern, 12 a.m. 11 o'clock Central, 12 a.m. Eastern. So until then, this is PK saying thank you and good night.